Hello, and welcome back to another episode of 20-somethings Podcast. I am Sarah Birch. I am the host of this podcast, and I am here with a very, 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 very dear friend and one of the original, actually, I think she was the very first guest on 20-somethings Podcast back in, when was it? 2022?
I think so, yeah. No, actually, it might have been 2021.
It might have been. I can't quite remember. Was it before Christmas or after?
Oh, maybe it was after Christmas.
Did I have you Darla? Had Darla? Anyway, it was a long time ago. So this is Kieran.
Hi, everyone.
Kieran lives in Victoria still, so it's a long distance love affair, but she is my number one podcast fan and listener and advocate. So I had to have her back on because this is something we're talking about FOMO today. And this is something that Kieran and I talk about a lot, and we both kind of experience in our own ways, but something that I feel like we're both currently kind of growing out of a little bit. Okay, so let me pull up my Google Doc because I'm so legit. I just have to give a quick shout out to my girl, Nat Shaw. She's also a big 20-somethings podcast listener. I love her. And actually, she, I remember this so vividly, introduced me to the term FOMO way back in high school. It said in my research that it was, the term came to fruition in 2004.
Oh, that's so interesting.
I know, but I remember her saying, at dance, and we were in the change room, and I don't remember the context, but she was just like, oh, I just have so much FOMO all the time. And I was like, FOMO, what does that mean? And she was like, fear of missing out. And I just, ever since then, I just, that was part of my lexicon of language. But I do remember her telling me that for the first time. But just for those of you who may not know what FOMO is, maybe like my mom, no offense, mom, the Oxford Dictionary says that it is, quote, anxiety that an exciting or interesting event may currently be happening elsewhere, often aroused by posts seen on social media, end quote. So I think that's super interesting that even Oxford mentioned the social media part of it. Another whole level of intensity and like consistency now that we have social media at our fingertips, because I think there's like never any end to FOMO now if you just scroll through your homepage or for you page. So what does FOMO mean to you, Kieran, and like how would you describe your experience with FOMO?
I think to some level, like, everybody kind of feels a bit like, oh, what the heck am I doing, when you're watching someone else relatively around the same age and maybe from the same area or something like that doing something really cool, like and feeling like you are, you know, not doing things that are as cool or not adventuring as much or whatever it is. I never personally experienced FOMO in that way. However, like, it always just really was really comfortable with my own journey and my own like path and the things that I was doing. I think maybe lately I've been feeling that way a little bit more, but the ways of which that I always felt FOMO were in situations that I could really have prevented. So things like if friends went out without me and went to dinner or drinks, and then I was watching that unfold on social media, but I wasn't invited, or if I was sick and like was supposed to make it to something and then never got to, or work got on the way or something like that. I think that that's where I would feel FOMO the most. And of course, I think another element of that maybe was like watching friends get into relationships. Because I was kind of a late bloomer in that way. And I always was like dating people or doing different things, but I never really experienced that kind of like long-term relationship early on, kind of like in my early teens and early 20s. So, or late teens and early 20s, I should say. So I think those are the ways that I feel FOMO the most, is just like things that I know that I could have been a part of had I been available or if I was invited.
Yeah, it, I saw this TikTok. It was so sad. I just need to get off that app. Like, I think I maybe spend 3 minutes on it now a day just for work, and I can't. But there was this girl, and she was bawling, and she was like, my friends just had a party, and they didn't invite me, and I don't know why they didn't invite. Yeah, and it was the saddest thing, and she's just like, what did I do? And I think we've all kind of been there. I think part of it is just maybe feeling insecure, feeling like I'm not good enough, like feeling like everybody secretly hates me, or that everybody's like plotting against me behind my back. I mean, obviously that's an exaggerated way to frame it, but you know what I'm saying? Like, because even this says, I was looking at a really interesting article on Forbes, and it said, quote, the feeling of wanting to fit in and belong far outdates the internet. And it's so true. Like, at the end of the day, everybody just wants to feel like they belong. And it's human nature to want to kind of find a community and, like, feel like you're valued and, like, your presence is an addition instead of, like, a nuisance. Like, I can't think of anything that gives me more anxiety than when people find me annoying or don't like me or find me rude. Or not that that really happens that often, but I definitely have this complex sometimes with wanting to be liked. So I think part of it's if I don't get invited to something, I'm like, oh, they must not like me, which is not always the case. And it's hard not to take things personally. But did you know, Kieran, that the average person, this is just so heart-wrenching, but not at all shocking, that the average person spends 147 minutes a day on social media. And because of this, we're more aware than ever of how others are spending their time. So, like, everything is documented now, you know, meals, dates, trips, anniversaries, everything. I mean, I talk about this in almost every single episode, how every single milestone is documented. And it is, you know, everyone always says it's a highlight reel, it's a highlight reel. But, like, that's just such a cliche at this point. Like, I think everybody at this point knows it's a highlight reel. But what are we going to do about it? Like, clearly there is a severe mental health crisis in North America right now, probably all over the world. And I'm just kind of sick of people just saying those platitudes, like, it's a highlight reel. It's like, okay, well, let's find ways to make social media more realistic or healthier.
But Sarah, I have to agree. I think that you just hit the nail on the head right there, with social media playing such a big factor into FOMO. Yeah. And really just exaggerating the feelings of it. You know, I think it kind of is the almost similar to feelings of jealousy. Yeah. Maybe in an age before social media, like feeling jealous of other things that people are experiencing that you haven't quite got to yet. I think that's a natural human feeling. Mm-hmm. And it's something like jealousy is always something that we like paint in such a negative light. And I don't always see it that way. You know, I think that you can look at someone else and maybe be jealous of what they're doing. And it inspires you to kind of follow your dreams or do something similar or whatever it might be. And I think people paint, you know, both FOMO and like jealousy or whatever you want to call it as like such a negative thing. And it can be, and it is, and it's not the greatest feeling, but it definitely can be inspiring and can really light a fire underneath you to kind of focus on yourself and experience things that you're watching other people experience. So I don't think it's all a negative thing, but I do think that social media has absolutely exaggerated the feelings that we have towards missing out on certain things.
And you're so right. And I don't think anybody ever predicted that social media would become so intertwined with like not just people's everyday lives, but also just like global economics. And just it's so part of the capitalist machine now in terms of everybody's doing paid advertisements and branding and like influencer, like all, even all these small businesses. Like I work for a small business and I'm in charge of like their social media, and it's just not so much word of mouth anymore, like putting ads in the paper. Like everything needs to be transacted through social media. So it's created, and I'm talking like the people at the top, the 1%, the people who are the CEOs of all of these things, like they don't care about a 15-year-old girl's mental health. They care about making money and increasing these platforms. And my dad was even saying like social media is not even that enjoyable anymore. It's literally just advertisement after advertisement. And whether that be a paid advertisement that automatically comes up or whether it be someone like an influencer just like subtly, not so subtly promoting something, like taking their photo with their toothpaste or whatever. And it's just become very much to me like all about money. I mean, I know there is more to it than that, but I definitely have a little bit more of a skeptical eye on social media now, like what people's intentions are. And so I think that's part of it, is I would love more than anything, not even so much for me, but for like my future children, to have some ways to make these apps a little bit like more healthy and maybe set like legitimate time restrictions on them for kids under 18 or something. Like I know you can technically set age or time restrictions, but like you can just bypass them so quickly. I think there needs to be some sort of way to protect the kids because they can't protect themselves. They're just their kids and like their parents. I'm not a parent, so I'm not parent shaming, but like, they, you know, these kids have access to everything, like TikTok, Instagram, everything. Like there's no filters for these kids anymore. And even if they don't have TikTok on their phone, they're going to see TikTok on their friend's phone at recess or at lunch. So like, it just feels like a train off the tracks right now. That's just going to end in a calamity of like suicide rates going up, depression going up, like mental health, especially among teens, is just the worst it's ever been. So, and even I feel that way. Like, I look at Alex Earl, who's like 5 years younger than me, and I'm like, look at her go. Like, her social battery is insane. She has so many friends. Like, she has a million places to go. Like, so many, you know, I'm just like, and here I am. Maybe I have one plan this week with a friend, and I'm just going to be working, walking my dog. And I'm like,
yeah, I mean, again, well, I just, it is so interesting because we're probably the last generation that really grew up without social media from a super young age. You know, when I was a kid, I was more so focused on playing outside, riding bikes, going to the playground, you know, just like kicking a ball around with friends. And kids these days are a lot more tuned in to the technology side of things, which again has its pros and its cons. But I think that I even still find now, and I know we've talked about this in our conversations together, but like, I'm a grown up adult and I didn't grow up with any of that stuff. But because technology and social media is so prevalent in our lives, and it's something that we just touch every day, you know, whether it's to keep in touch with people or to scroll on an Instagram feed or a Facebook feed, whatever it is, right? You're sucked into that. And I often have to find myself, I find myself just pulling my own self out of that pit, and that it's kind of like a vortex, you know, like you're going in there and you're like almost like blindsided. You don't know what's going to hit you when you open up that app and what you're going to see that maybe is either going to make you feel really, really good or really bad and start to compare yourself. And you do have to just like remember, like, everything on social media is curated in a way that whoever is posting it, whoever is creating that content, is showing you exactly what they want you to see. And obviously there's nuances to that. You know, there's people that are on social media and they're really advocating for different rights for people or body positivity, like all these things, like mental health and wellness, like all those types of things people are advocating for. But even that content is edited up and it's very curated, right? So we just have to remember that everything, it's marketing. All of this stuff is marketing, and it's just turned into this huge marketing scheme. And that's how a lot of people make their money, right? Someone's going to promote a product to you and tell you that it works amazing and it cured a whole whack load list of things that they were struggling with, issues that they had, insecurities that they had, or whatever it was. And it might not, that product might not work the same for you, but you have to remember too, a lot of these people are paid to talk about these things. It's just exaggerated again with watching other people's lives through social media. We're really not meant to watch day-to-day ins and outs of everybody's lives. We're not meant to see that.
Yeah, but I'm like, I don't really want to be an influencer at all, but even I find myself comparing my, like, I look on Instagram or Twitter or YouTube, even, not Twitter, I never go on Twitter, but TikTok, and there's like a million girlies like me out there making their YouTube videos with their thumbnails, like doing the same thing I'm doing. And I'm like, this is literally just a rat race out here. Like, and it's hard not to feel defeated. Like, not that this really has that much to do with FOMO, but it's all connected. But just like, it feels like everybody is trying to live this life that they all think is realistic if they just keep like pumping out content. And I do kind of include myself in this, but I try to have like a realistic set of purpose and morals as to like why I'm doing this. Like, I, as much as I joke about wanting to be famous and stuff, I really do think I have like a good head on my shoulders, and I actually really want to like make a positive difference and connect with people and all of that stuff. So if that's the case, then I think people should, you know, preach to the masses if they have like a positive message to share. But just like people just wanting their 15 minutes and just wanting free shit, like, that's toxic, I think, because I don't know. I mean, an influencer lifestyle is pretty nice for the most part, but it also, I can't even imagine the type of anxiety they feel with how many comments and stuff they get. And that's the other thing, like, the nicer and more successful your life looks on social media, I also feel like on the flip side, the more hate you get and the more nasty comments you get and the more jealousy you get. Like, I think it's a double-edged sword, and you just always need to be cautious and have, like, those, even if you are young, try to have, like, the constant reminder in your head of, like, this is not the full story. Like, this is just a quarter of, you know, the reality of the situation. There was probably shit going on behind the scenes, and they probably edited the photo and, like, all these other factors.
True. Well, if you think about it too, it's so interesting to me, because I bet you these people, when they were developing these apps, you know, these different social media apps or whatever, they probably didn't even realize the scope that some of these apps were going to reach, you know? Like, if you think about Facebook, for instance, or, like, MySpace, it was really just a way for people to connect with other people. All of the marketing and the, like, the business side of things came actually quite a while after. So in terms of, like, growth on a whole, like, for social media, it's changed so much. And I really just don't think that the people that created these apps and social media in general knew or even thought about where it could possibly lead to. And that just seems like the case with all technology advancements, honestly. I saw this post on Facebook this morning and I thought it was so funny, but also, like, kind of hit home a little bit. It was a bunch, I think probably like 8 or 10 of cartoon drawn images, and these people, these everyday regular people, were just doing, like, regular everyday life things. So, like, in one picture it was a couple lying in bed together, but they're both scrolling on their phones and attached to devices, and so their body was kind of a more, like, translucent looking figure as opposed to, like, you know, whole in color. And then in the next photo, it was a picture of a woman standing in the kitchen with her dogs, and she was scrolling on her phone, and both her dog and her cat are kind of looking up to her for attention. And again, her figure attached to this phone is, it's not opaque, it's translucent, kind of almost to show that, like, she's there, but she's not really there, if you know what I mean. And there was lots of different images like that. Again, like a couple with a kid and at the playground, and you get the idea. But it really stood out to me, because I think that's one thing about myself that I always get hung up on is, okay, we're watching other people live their lives through social media. Great. We can't even help that half the time, because a lot of the times that those curated videos just pop up on our feed or whatever. So we can't always control what we're seeing on social media, but what we can control is being present in our own day-to-day lives, putting down the phone at dinner, being present when you're with friends. Like, I try really hard, and, you know, I'm not perfect, and I still struggle with this sometimes, but, like, especially if I'm hanging out with Nick, I guess I should preface and say, for your listeners that don't know, my boyfriend and I are long distance, and he lives in Calgary, I live in Victoria, and so we don't see each other, you know, as often. We see each other about once a month, or try to, and that's been working really well for us. But, like, sometimes all we have together is a weekend. If we only have a weekend together, I don't want to be sitting on my phone for half that weekend. Like, we're in each other's actual physical presence. We really do make an effort to be together and be present and put away the phones and the technology and really just focus on our time. And I appreciate that so much. I think I would struggle really badly if I was in a relationship where my partner was always on their phone, or if I felt like I always needed to be on my phone. You know, I think sometimes we just, like, pick our phones up out of habit. Like, either it buzzes or you get a notification, or you just, like, you go to check the time and the next thing you know, you're, like, scrolling through Instagram. Like, it's hard to break that habit. Our phones and social media is created in a way where it's encouraging you to pick it up, because every time you pick up your phone and you open up Instagram, you see an ad for something that then you might buy something. And I just, that's the one thing that I always fear. And that's where the FOMO for me, I think, right now is so prevalent. Yeah.
I find myself tempted with the same stuff. Like, you know, if I'm at dinner with some friends or something and they all go to the bathroom or whatever, like, of course, I would love to just sit there and take in the scenery, and I should do that. But of course, I usually take out my phone, but I never really have it out, like, in the midst of a conversation or whatever. But I always try, like, my first instinct is to go to Instagram probably, but then I'm like, you know what, I'm gonna go on Pinterest, or I'm going to open my notes app and do a little bit, like, on the spot journaling, or I'm gonna edit a little bit more of my vlog. Like, I'm like, how can I try to do maybe something a little more productive, or something a little bit more, like, not it to me. Pinterest is one of the only social media, quote unquote, I don't know if it is, like, fully a social media app, but one of the only, like, platforms where I don't feel worse after going on it. I actually usually feel, like, inspired and happy. So I've been kind of trying to do that. So maybe you guys could think of that too, or maybe you can have, like, a little word game on your phone or something, that if you do feel the temptation to pull out your phone, at least maybe you're doing something different than just mindlessly scrolling. Social media completely changed for me and became so much less toxic for me personally when I actually started creating a lot more than I was consuming. Like, and that's not for everybody, because not everybody wants to have a podcast and a YouTube channel and all this stuff. But for me, like, I was just doom scrolling and just being like, I should be doing that, but I don't want to, or like, I should be doing that. And then I was like, okay, all these girls and boys got to where they're at because they actually put in the work and made the content and put themselves out there, and like, I need to start doing that. So like, once I started using those apps as like a form of self-expression and creativity and like kind of building my brand, so to speak, like, I started enjoying them a lot more because I was actually using them for their purpose, which is to like create content versus just consuming, which I don't think is healthy for anybody. So that's another tip potentially. Again, it won't apply to everybody depending on your personality type, but maybe try to create more TikToks, or create more, go out and take some nice photos for Instagram and spend an afternoon outdoors taking photos for Instagram versus just looking at other people's photos all day long. I don't know if that makes sense, but I think that's helped me a lot find a better balance with social media.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that's a really good way to look at it too, but then it's hard because sometimes you do get caught in the rat race of like, I don't feel good in what I'm wearing or this outfit, I don't want to take a photo. Or you do take those photos, but then you're sitting there comparing yourself to somebody else. Like, why don't I look, you know? Yeah.
Not everything has to be content, but that's hard. Like, when I look good, I'm like, please, God, let me get a photo tonight, please. Like, I'm on a mission. But once I get the photo, phone's away for the rest of the night. Like, I'm pretty good with that. Like, I don't feel the need to take 6,000 photos. I'm like, just let me get one good photo. And again, I think it's just all about balance. But I have been addicted to my phone. Like, I am here owning up to it. Like, I spent years addicted to my phone. And I'm still, I work off my phone. So I guess in some ways I'm still addicted to it. But I really do think as I've gotten older, I've just gotten so freaking sick of it. Like, just so sick of social media. Like, I literally hate it now. And I think it's adding this extra pressure on people to like live their ideal life, and it's giving people the sense that like every option in the world is available to them. So like it says here, like the biggest pressure of all is for all of us, humanity, doesn't matter where you are, is like the passing of time and getting older and feeling like life is slipping through your fingers. And a lot of people kind of have the negative mindset of like, oh, I didn't do enough, I didn't go to this place, I didn't have, you know, whatever. It's like achievements. But like, I like what you said is like, I want to remember the conversations I had with my friend in the car. I want to remember, you know, the songs I listened to when I was cooking. Like, and those are the moments like I've probably not been fully present for honestly 50% of my 20s. And that's so sad to think about. Like, and we're like documenting, but we're not retaining it necessarily in our brains.
Yeah, you're so right. And it's so funny because I think that sometimes like when we pay so much attention to the whole social media part and like watching other people's lives, we forget that we're also like living and building our own. And I don't want to take away from the fact that social media is really great in terms of like connection. Like, it brings people, like I said, from all across the world together that maybe felt a bit misunderstood or like they didn't fit in their physical environment, but they've managed to find a community online. That is amazing and beautiful and wonderful, and I don't ever want to take away from that. But sometimes I do fear that our society on a whole spends less time focusing on ourselves and building the life that we want to live And spends almost too much time just watching other people and living vicariously through other people. And you see that even like, oh my gosh, I think TikTok, me and you talk about this all the time, but like TikTok is kind of just the worst social media app in terms of like what people get away with. Like I was thinking about the other night, those friggin' tea mm-hmm. accounts, like, you know, the ones that spend their time like researching what's going on in like celebrities' life or other influencers or whatever it is, and then they like report back. Like that is just so ridiculous and so funny to me. Like imagine spending that much time invested in somebody else's life. We as humans just need to focus, I think, more mm-hmm. on connection with the people that are in our lives. Like stop comparing your friends, your family, your boyfriend to other people's friends, families, boyfriends. Like just appreciate them for what they are and who they are. And you know what? If you're surrounded in a group of friends that you don't feel like you fit in, like go and find those people that you do really connect with. But you're not going to find those people or build those connections or friendships or enter into a relationship that you want by watching other people do it. That's just not reality.
I know. And it's like you think that the more you're exposed to other people living your dream life, so to speak, the more attainable it would feel because you're seeing that other people have it, but it almost makes it feel less attainable in some way. I don't know if that makes sense, but maybe because it's so curated. Or that was a big turning point for me when I used to listen to so many podcasts and I just be like, I could do it better than them. Like I would be such a good podcaster. I could totally do this. Like, and I would think that probably for a full year, I would think that every day, just like, I could do this, I could do this. And then like one day I finally got the guts to just be like, okay, I need to actually do this. And what's the worst that could happen? And I think a big piece of it was worrying, to be honest, that people would like make fun of me and think I was weird and think I was dumb, like the small town girl, you know, thinking she's cool enough to have a podcast. And, you know, why do I think that I have more interesting things to say than other people? Like,
mm-hmm. I do find it so interesting too, because like, you know, when you think about like your relationships and like having a boyfriend and all that kind of stuff, like just before I ever had a boyfriend or whatever in high school, and keep in mind I did grow up in the age of social media too, like in regards to high school, you know, when I was in high school, social media and like all those relationship posts and things like that were like so prevalent. but like I would look at those things all the time and be like, oh my god, yeah, like totally, when I have a boyfriend, I'm gonna be all lovey-dovey on social media and like post about them. And maybe it's just like a lack of maturity, really, because now that I look back, you know, I am in a relationship and I don't feel the need to post myself and Nick all over my Instagram feed and like make these elaborate like, yeah, post with these long, lengthy captions, like displaying my love for him. He knows how much I love him, and I tell him that all the time, and like vice versa. I think that the way that people use social media to almost like validate their relationship or look for validation in other people in regards to their relationship is really interesting to me. And being in a relationship now, as someone who I've matured quite a lot, obviously, since high school, to me, I just see it as like a turnoff. And everybody has their own personal preferences. I'm not saying like it's good or bad if you post your girlfriend or boyfriend on social media. I'm just saying for me and for my relationship, I don't feel the need to do that. Like, I don't have anything to prove to anybody. I don't feel the need to like boast about like how great my relationship is to all these random people that follow me. Like, it's so funny to me too. Like the people that follow me, half of them I don't even know. So do I really want them to know like every intimate detail of my relationship? No, I don't. And fuck, Sarah, you would find this so funny, but I actually had this girl who graduated with my brother. I won't say any names, but she, I guess, like saw a post or a photo or something of Nick and felt the need to message me out of the blue. I haven't talked to this girl in years. Like, I wouldn't have considered her a friend, just an acquaintance. Acquaintance? Sorry, I'm having a hard time with words today. But she sent me a message, a random message on Instagram. She was like, oh my God, girl, who was that guy in the picture that you posted or something? And I was like, what? Like, I'm trying to hide my relationship or the fact that I'm in a relationship. I just think it's so weird that this random girl who I don't even know, who I'm not even friends with, feels like she's entitled to know all about me and my relationship and my boyfriend. All my close friends, family, everyone knows about Nick and like loves him. And I talk about our relationship, but I don't bombard people with obviously like details about our relationship, but you know, they know like the general like premise and the kind of what's going on, or like, you know what I mean? Like as you do, like you talk with your girlfriends, but I do not need every Tom, Dick and Harry in on my business, like snooping around my relationship. And like, we all do it, you know, we do it to celebrities where we're like, oh my God, like MGK and Megan Fox, like, are they still together? Like, did he cheat on her? Like, what's going on? Like, it's just human nature to be gossipy in that way. I think just what I've realized for myself is that I don't want anyone else gossiping about my life or my relationship or whatever, because it's my real life. No,
we need to talk about that TikTok this morning, Kira. The caption, I'll post it on, or I'll share it on my Instagram story, on the 20-somethings podcast Instagram story when this drops so you guys can see, but I'm sure you've probably seen it anyway, but it was like girls writing a huge caption for their anniversary, and it was like this girl sitting there, and it was like, you are the love of my life. Like, I love how generous you are, how chivalrous you are, how kind you are. And it's literally like repeating videos of this guy just being like the most typical, like bare minimum boyfriend, like not holding the door for her, not sharing his food with her, not wanting to take photos with her, literally just like rolling his eyes all the time. And it was just so realistic. And I was like, this is the type of content that I'm down for. Like, I love when people make like sarcastic, funny, intelligent content that's like making fun of society. Like, I'm all here for that because it gives everybody like a dose of reality. But that is just like the most FOMO thing ever. Like, she is painting an idealized version of her own relationship to impress others, I would assume. I don't know why. Maybe to create her own narrative in her head that her relationship's maybe a little bit more romantic than it really is or whatever. But I think this is so embarrassing. I used to do this. I used to write potential captions in my notes app that I was going to post when I had a boyfriend. And I didn't even have a boyfriend. I was like 16. But it's like, one day when I do have a boyfriend, I have like a list of 8 captions ready to go. And they weren't even specific to that man. They were just like captions that I thought were cute. Like, it's so funny. And even at that point, I was like coming up with like, oh, I think people would really like that caption. And the man was irrelevant. Like, the man in the image that I had was irrelevant. It was the caption that was more important to me. And the fact that I'd be stunting on these hoes, like, that was what was important to me.
Oh my gosh. We're doing a complete 180 here.
Yeah, just always kind of look maybe with a little bit of a skeptical eye at those couples on social media who are literally like performing. Like, sometimes I'm like, we need to check on these boys. Like, some of these young girls, like these TikTokers, they like drag their boyfriends into every video. Like, my boyfriend does my makeup, my boyfriend does my hair, my boyfriend does my voiceover. I'm like, the poor man probably just wants to play like what's it called, video games. I was gonna say like Xbox, but I don't know if that's still a thing. But I'm like, let the poor boy go to hockey with his friends. Like, honestly. But I used to be that bitch, Kieran. Like, I used to be that girl that was like, get in this TikTok with me. And like, they're like, I don't want to. And I was like, you don't love me. Like, literally. And now I'm like, okay, once in a while, I think you should just shut up and get in the TikTok or get in the photo. Like, if your girlfriend really wants you to do something, just do it. Like, but it's also not his role or her role. But most of the time, let's be honest, it's girls doing this with men. Like, they're not your show pony. They're not your prop. They're not your like accessory. That shows growth, because honestly, a few years ago, you would have caught me saying, if a man does not want to like get in my videos and participate and like be part of my social media, like, I'm not being with him. Like, that's a no. Because I was fully convinced that like that was so important to me at the time, to be able to show off my relationship and like show off my partner. And now I've really grown out of that. And in fact, I find it kind of sometimes a bit of a turn off if a man is like way too active and like popping off on social media. I find it like, honestly, like a little bit of a turn off. And also, if they're spending all that time on social media, they're probably liking models' photos and sliding into DMs. So let's go for the boys who are cavemen and don't even want to be on social media. Thank you. That's my speech.
Oh gosh, that's so funny. I do. I agree with what you're saying, like, completely in terms of, like, you know, your boyfriend is not and should not be your little show pony. Like, it's not this little, like, puppet that you just get to walk around with. And sometimes that's definitely what it feels like when you're watching some of these relationships unfold on social media. And it is a really good reminder, I guess, just to be, like, conscious of that, I guess, in your own, like, online presence.
You're pimping them out. It's like labor. It's slave labor. Like, they're not even getting a share of their profits. Like, honestly, like, these poor boys. And I never thought I would sympathize with boys, but, like, do you know what I'm saying? These girls, they're like taking selfie videos and they just like grab their boyfriend's face and like pull it into screen, and it's just like, oh my god. But the boys, some of them are a bit thirsty too, but it just makes me giggle because I just wonder what their conversations are like, these little 19-year-old TikTokers. Like, what do they talk about?
I guess I do also see, like, the idea that people feel really proud about their partners and their, you know, their girlfriends and boyfriends, and so therefore they want to, like, show them off and stuff. And there is something to be said about that too, you know? Like, when I stand next to Nick in a group, I'm always so happy to be there and, like, proud to stand right beside him and stuff. And he makes me feel really safe and comfortable, like anybody should, right? And, you know more than anyone else because I talk to you a lot. But, like, I'm always talking about him and the things that we're doing, like, the fun things that we're doing and stuff. But I just don't feel the need to, like, to, I guess, like, use him as like a trophy or like a token on my Instagram or my social media, and use our relationship as that, because it means so much more to me than just like it's not a performance to me. It means so much more to me than that.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's another lesson I've learned, is I think TikTok in particular is a minefield for like social media, like for relationships, sorry, and just like truly the deterioration of your confidence in your relationship, because it's either one or two things. You're seeing content where these couples, like, on my first date, like, I saw this girl posting this. This was so funny. I feel like this is going to be the longest episode because Kieran and I are just talking shit. But it was this girl, and she was like, this boy, he's now my boyfriend, but, like, on our very first date, we had, like, a lovely dinner date. And then, like, the next day he wanted to hang out, and I was feeling really sick. I had a cough. So I told him that we'd have to reschedule. And he showed up at my front door with, like, you know, cough medicine and soup and tea. Like, this is where the bar is and all this. And then, of course, and then she's like, and then the next day he saw that my porch lights were broken. So then he brought light bulbs. And, like, some of the comments were like, honey, this man is stalking you. Like, this is not, like, how did he know where you live? Like, how did he know that your lights... But also, like, a lot of the comments were like, this is love bombing, honey. Like, this is not healthy. And then a lot of the comments were like, this is what I want. This is what real love is. And it was such a, what's the word? Like, such a mix and match of, like, triggered reactions. Like, either people were really inspired or people were, like, really nasty. And I was kind of somewhere in between. Even just stuff like that, you know, I watched that video and I'm like, wow, I've never had a man drop off something at my front door after the second date. Like, you know, I've never had a man do this or do that. And then you also see these other bitches on TikTok screaming at you, bullying you, berating you. Literally, they're like, honey, I don't know who needs to hear this, but that man does not like you. That man is playing you and he's fucking four other girls. And if he didn't text you back in 2 minutes, then that means he does not like you and you're delusional. And, like, I'm not lying. People literally say this stuff on TikTok. And then you play the comparison game because it's like, you know, I know other people who get texts back immediately. And then it's just such a mind fuck. Like, anyways, so it's either somebody like bragging about how wonderful their partner is or somebody screaming in your face telling you that you're a desperate bitch because you like a man. And then some of them are like, and then there's even guys on TikTok that are like I saw this video of this guy the other day being like, ladies, every single man in the world's either going to cheat on you or break your heart. So you know what? Get fucked, get sucked, and get out of there. And I'm like, even men, like even men are promoting this now where like they're not even trying to hide it anymore that they like are going to fuck around. And this is what I'm saying. Like for me to look at this type of stuff, at least I can put somewhat of my like 26-year-old goggles on and be like, okay, this is bullshit. But for imagine like a 17-year-old watching those videos, like it's probably so confusing. So anyway, I just know when Kieran and I were both like, I was seeing I was seeing someone long distance, and Kieran was also seeing someone long distance at around the same time last year. And we were both like also going through like a TikTok phase, and we were just constantly like comforting each other back and forth, being like, I just saw a video that really upset me. And then you're like, I just saw a video that really upset me. And we were literally talking each other off the ledge because it was just like insane. We were both trying to nurture these long distance relationships, and we were like doing our best. But so I guess what I'm trying to say is just don't take everything you say seriously. Everybody now has a soapbox. Everybody now has access to put whatever the fuck they want on social media. So it's not going to be all therapists and doctors and lawyers and educated people. It's going to just be like everyday rando people. And not all of them should be taken at face value. Like just because they have a million views on their video doesn't mean that it's good or worthwhile. And don't let people bully you. I mean, they're going to do it anyway, but just keep scrolling. Like, don't listen to that shit. It made me feel so bad about myself when I was going through a breakup. And I did nothing wrong in my breakup. And I was literally being screamed at by random people sitting in their car. And I'm like, it's not worth it. So get off TikTok. I went on another tangent, Kieran. I just missed you so much. I had to entertain her. Another thing I just wanted to touch on, maybe you'll have, like, I think we should maybe, like, wrap it up by talking about kind of how we've grown to be, like, more comfortable being alone and, like, spending time with ourselves. And then also maybe, like, give a little bit of advice to other people and, like...
I think just looking back at who I used to be and where I am now, I see growth in a lot of things. I used to always be the type of girl that needed to have a weekend plan, and it was usually like going out and drinking and like doing all these crazy things, and in hindsight, like spending a lot of money and wasting a lot of money and wasting a lot of my time. I mean, there's some nights definitely I would say that are like core memories, and I wouldn't take those experiences or those things back for anything in the world. And you definitely have to live out your like late teens, early 20s, like kind of party phase. Like I don't regret any of that at all, but I'm so much more different now. Like I work a full-time job, which I actually have been doing since I was 19, so I guess that's not different, but my energy levels have definitely changed. I want to prioritize myself a bit more and recovery time for myself. You know, working a full-time job is no small undertaking.
I know, I feel the same way.
So I like to allow myself time on the weekends to kind of rest and rejuvenate and relax. Mm-hmm. And so I do make plans for the weekends, but I try to keep a little bit of space, or at least just like kind of have some kind of downtime for myself, whether that be just like a Sunday at home or a Friday evening or something like that. Just some time that I know is just for me, and I can just do whatever the heck I want. And that's definitely helped, I think, with the whole FOMO, because I'm prioritizing what I actually need as opposed to what I think I need.
Even Kieran and I, like, we always kind of check in with each other. Like, even I texted her the other night. I'm like, I feel like such a pathetic wiener. Like, it's a Saturday night and I'm sitting at home drinking wine, watching Dance Moms. Like, I was just like, this cannot be what life is. Like, I was living in Europe, like, partying my little ass off a few years ago. And now I feel like, you know, and it would be one thing, like, not to be like, woe is me, but it'd be one thing if I was with my boyfriend or with my husband or whatever. And it's like, oh, we're staying in watching movies together, or even just with my best friend or my sister. But I was with nobody. I was by myself. I mean, I had Darla, and we can't discount Darla. But it's just like those nights, and I'm sure a lot of people listening can relate to that. Those nights as a grown adult in your 20s, when you literally don't have a friend, like you don't have a partner, those are the nights where I get the most FOMO, I think, where it's just like, shit, I should be. And it's not even necessarily because I saw something and it triggered me, but it's just like, I should be making the most of my 20s. I should be socializing. I should be going on dates. I should be at the gym right now. Like, just beating myself up. It's a balance. Because too many nights like that where you're just, like, lying in bed with a face mask on, I think is also unhealthy. I think you need to have a little bit of both. And it's just, like, the more you adult and get older, the more responsibilities you have. And it gets harder and harder. But I think you also get better at prioritizing what's actually important to you. And I think that's where FOMO diminishes a little bit. And I think I've seen this with you and with me is, like, the more you age and the more you actually learn about yourself and learn what your priorities and what your needs are and what your goals are, the easier it is to just be like, oh, that's nice that she's doing that, but, like, it's not my path. Or, like, that's cute that they're in that relationship, but that's not what I want for myself or whatever. Like, it's easier to just keep your sights set on what's right for you and to not get so caught up in, like, all of the million other things going on around you. Do you know what I'm saying, Kieran?
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, you're so right. Like, I have a dog, I have a boyfriend, family, friends, all these things and these relationships to nurture. But the most important one, I think, for me is just myself, making sure that I'm well prepped for the next mm-hmm. week. It really just puts me in a way better headspace, doing things like my laundry, grocery shopping, kind of setting myself up for success in the next week. That is something that I've definitely prioritized. And I know, like, I've been that girl that's always busy and never misses out on a single thing. And at the end of the day, I always just felt so drained and run down. That I know I need to prioritize those things in my life. That self-care time to me is so important. Nick always jokes around with me about, like, my skincare routine and stuff. And I need that. I need that time. Like, it's so important to me. It's therapeutic. It makes me feel like I'm decompressing. Mm-hmm. And it's stress reducing for me. So those things definitely are very important. And I would say that's kind of a big thing that I've noticed just in terms of growth and not feeling FOMO so much because I'm just focused on my own day-to-day life so much.
You're right. Like, we're always searching. And in some ways, I mean, this is like a whole other topic and we've been going for an hour and a half, so we should probably wrap it. Isn't that crazy? I was thinking, like, I often think about, I never ever would want to go back for obvious reasons back to like the 50s. But in some ways, I am a little bit in like the weirdest way, and don't come for me, people. Like, I am obviously a feminist, but like in some ways I am a little bit jealous of the fact that women just had way more of like a clear role back then. And it was just like a little bit easier to define yourself in society and like, okay, like I want to, like they were still able to get degrees and stuff, but it was just kind of like, okay, I want to find a boyfriend who will eventually become my husband and we want to have kids and I want to build a life and like be a good wife. And it was like, not that I even necessarily need that for myself, but it was a little bit more clear cut and it was easier to like build the stepping stones of a life when you sort of knew what was expected of you. And now all of those expectations are like blown out of the water. Like, you can literally be anything and go anywhere, get a visa to anywhere. Like, the world is your oyster. And it is causing me and a lot of people to feel paralyzed and to feel like I want to do it all and I want to do none of it because it's so overwhelming. But also I don't want to look back and I don't want to regret like, oh, these other people did this and I didn't. And I, what if I missed out? Or what if the love of my life was in Australia this whole time and I never went and I missed out or whatever it may be? Like, it's just a lot. And so while I obviously don't want to be a 50s housewife, in some ways I do wish someone would just be like, and Kieran and I talk about this all the time, like, this is the general path you're going on. Like, these are the next 3 milestones, like, make your way there. And to not make, like, every single step for me, but to just give me a clear idea of where I should be going.
Yeah, I think that the biggest thing about that, though, too, is I always think about, I don't know why, but like, I guess the brand that I've created for myself, and looking back, I don't want to just be known for one thing and I don't want to be like held to that one standard. You know, who you are in your 20s definitely transforms as you move kind of into your 30s and 40s, and who you are before you have kids, you hear people say all the time, changes after you have kids. That's the problem, I think, sometimes with social media also, and watching things like that unfold, is that then people get so stuck into like who you used to be or who they want you to be based on who you used to be, and it doesn't allow for that growth and that change, which is so important. And yeah, I don't ever want to be put in a box, I guess, or put myself in a box, and just be one thing.
And that's sort of been an issue with me, is sometimes I wish I was a little bit more like staunch in my identity and my personality. Like, I know people, even like my sister, like she just knows who she is. She knows what her goals are. Like, she knows what she likes. She knows what she doesn't like. And she's just very like quite clear about that. And she always has been. Whereas I've always been a little bit more lost. But that's okay. And I think it's, hopefully anyone listening to this episode is maybe feeling a little bit better and like related to that. Whatever Kieran and I have talked about, I'm sure you guys have experienced it on some level, whether you're older or younger, a boy or girl, or whatever you live your life as. But you're not alone. We all experience it. And there's statistics out there and studies that show that this is a very real thing that's affecting people, especially youth, like especially children and teenagers. I don't know. I feel like I'm just rambling, but I don't know what I'm trying to say. But I guess I'm just trying to say thank you for listening. And if you have kids or nieces or nephews or students, check in with them, because they need us. I'm going to say it every single episode, like, these children need us. Honestly, I'm so scared. Like, I want to be a mom so bad, but I'm terrified to raise my child in this social media era. And with all the, like, the economy crisis, the mental health crisis, the global warming crisis, like, these kids are not okay. And they're exposed to all of it, right? Like, they're seeing all these articles and TikToks and everything. So check in with your friends, check in with your family, check in with your kids, check in with yourself. And don't be so hard on yourself if you're feeling a little lonely or a little down. Everybody feels that way from time to time. Thank you so much to everybody who sent me little kind messages over the last few weeks. I've gotten a few people reach out to me saying that they're a new listener and that they really enjoy it. So that always encourages me to keep going, even when I'm feeling, you know, a little unmotivated. But I had a lot of fun. Thank you for doing this with me, Kieran.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I always love doing these episodes with you, and I feel like we learn so much more about each other. And I'm always happy to do them. We have the best convos. So yeah, thanks.
Yes, my pleasure. Now, hopefully we can salvage this through our makeshift audio recording situation. Okay, well, Kieran's gone now. She's saving her audio. So I'm going to say goodbye. Love you guys so much. Thank you so much for listening. I'll be back next week with another topic, potentially another guest. We'll see what happens. And enjoy your 20s. Bye.